Money in markets, price deflation, and more price deflation. Crude's now at $48. Gold has broken through the 1100 line. I want to see if it stays broken through on the Friday close. Right now it's at 1089. It's not a good sign, and it's very important to remember if it really breaks through that 1100 line, we could see gold go down as low as 800. The copper price is at 6-year low. China is clearly slowing. We see some interesting things, though, in the market. You know, when Alibaba came public, it was a real wake-up call to the guys at Amazon, because Alibaba has been in, you know, sort of in the black and had profits for years, and it was a message to Amazon, it's time to really have profits, and sure enough, Amazon has produced it. But in doing so, its market cap passed that of Walmart. Very interesting. And then Google had a great day over the last week. It was up 60 to 65 billion in one day, which is more than the entire market cap of Lockheed Martin, which is now about 62 billion. And so Google's market value increased literally by more than Lockheed Martin is worth in total in one day. Just goes to show you that digital surveillance and control is deemed to be more cost effective than physical control. So let's look at the markets. The U.S. dollar index now up at 97.19. It almost made it to 97.5, and then it's backed off a tad. As people are getting worried about sort of price deflation, we're seeing bonds do a little bit better. The bond aggregate is now down 0.9% for the year, and TLT, which was down as much as 6%, that's the 20-year plus ETF, Treasury ETF, I was down 6% plus, is now down 3.84%, so it's come back up a little bit. Stock market looks very soft. The S&P is now back down to up 2.1% for the year. Developed markets outside of North America up 6.2%. Emerging markets now down 4.3% and looking very soft. The German DAX is now up 18% for the year. And if you look at the 5-year and 10-year charts, the DAX is now touching or surpassing the U.S. market. So very strong. Germany clearly the beneficiary of some of the re-engineering going on in Europe. China now up 1.6% for the year. One of the big questions in the U.S. market has clearly been rising on healthcare. Healthcare has been very important. It's clearly, if you haven't read my commentaries, the stock profits of Obamacare, this is clearly floating on a sea of government money and government rules and now mergers. The joke, of course, being that if you look at the pace of mergers, that we're still going to get a single-payer system. And also the insurance companies have big premium raises in hoping to get that this year. And as you look at how the market is really, other than the sort of re-engineering into the digital systems, which has some efficiencies in theory for the economics, certainly not, I don't believe, for the people. The question is, how much longer can this healthcare rise last? There's a real question, given the ballooning in healthcare stock values and the precipitous drop in commodities, at some point you have to wonder if there isn't a healthcare to commodity swap, particularly in countries whose ETFs have been hammered by commodity prices, Australia, Canada, New Zealand. They're starting to look very attractive. The Chinese opened the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. It opened in Shanghai this week. That was celebrated. And you almost wonder if a lot of the screaming by U.S. pundits that the Chinese economy and growth is over and no longer the sort of engine of global growth, how much of that is still the sort of economic warfare going on over China's role in starting the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. Gold now down 8%, silver down 7%. Charts look very poor. What's interesting, as I said, the premiums in the physical markets are rising. Franklin Sanders sent out a thing this week about the extraordinary premiums in the junk silver market, which fit with what other dealers are telling me. So we're watching a real fight for physical at the same time prices are clearly coming down, and the charts look very soft. As I said, remember, it's very important you only hold your core position right now, because, again, if we do break through the 1100 line on gold, we could see 700. you know, and at a gold to silver ratio of 75, you could see silver at 9. So don't be surprised. So just make sure whatever you're holding its core and you're happy to live through wherever things go. Oil now down 24% for the year. The commodities Jefferies index down 9% for the year. So, and it doesn't, if you look at the charts, it looks like this is far from over. So again, price deflation is upon us and just tremendous weakness in the commodities market, but still real geopolitical squabble over who gets control of resources, including the gold and silver. There was a bridge collapse on Highway 10. I mentioned that because in the infrastructure report, the first big video I highlighted was the bridge scene from Margin Call. And in fact, Highway 10 is a very important highway to me. It's the one I take home. I came across on 40, but going back, I was planning on dropping down to the Los Angeles area and then coming back on Highway 10. Apparently, the feds have given California $2 million to fix, I think it's in California, not Arizona, to fix the bridge, and apparently it'll be open relatively soon. So I won't have to drop down and take Highway 8. It would have meant another 4 hours on my journey. Very, very appropriate. If you haven't seen our infrastructure web presentation, we're going to have the PDF ready in a week and the book ready in another 2 weeks. And it's really a remarkable transcript, so I would encourage you to read it. But definitely look at that bridge scene from Margin Call because it says it all. And that bridge collapse and the thought of having to spend another 4 hours driving back to Tennessee really brought it home for me. The Greek negotiations continue. I can't imagine the pain and waste that's happening on the ground. Greece is a relatively small part of the European economy, and the debt has essentially been moved out of the banks to the governments. But in that sense, Greece can be marginalized, and so it's a reminder as you watch what's happening of the importance individually of having resiliency, being able to do things for yourself, being able to barter, keeping to a low overhead. Farrell has a new book out called The Third Way, Nazi International and the European Union. I'm going to post a review of it next week on the blog. He and I talk about it in our discussion, which we'll post in 2 weeks. But I strongly recommend it for anybody who wants to understand what's happening geopolitically, particularly in the European Union. It's fascinating. The Bohemian Grove is underway. There's a commentary up on the blog. It started July 18th. Interestingly enough, Jeb Bush hit San Francisco right beforehand and did an economic roundtable with George Shultz at the Hoover Institution. So I'm assuming he's out running around in the Redwoods with everyone else. My expectation is one of the big conversations out there is whacking up the Iran deal. You have $120 billion of assets being unfrozen, and I'm sure that there were deals as to what companies were going to get what pieces of business and get back into doing transactions with Iran. Columbia University has come out as the first university to divest their endowment from private prison stocks. That follows Hillary Clinton's effort to make a speech about how wrong the policies that her husband's administration was so aggressive in instituting. Extraordinary hypocrisy. They're disgusting. But Columbia's students and Columbia playing along, it would be interesting. I'm violently opposed to private prison companies. As anybody who's read my book, Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits, knows. Our second part on trade agreements is out. It's on the trade services agreement, and we're working on another a part three on the transatlantic. But I would encourage you to read those because these trade agreements are coming. They're going to be very important. Here come the robots. Japan has announced that they've opened their first all-robotics hotel. It's one way to adjust to life in an aging population. No youngsters to be the bellhops and clean the hotel. So there we are. And it'll be very interesting to see how that hotel fares. But it's a reminder that particularly in the service industries, we're going to see an explosion of robots around the world.